Hey guys, welcome back to the Beyond Forgiveness podcast. I'm your host, Alex Christine, and our scripture reading for the day is going to be from 1 Peter. We're going to start at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, and we're going to go all the way into chapter 2, so bear with me, please. So think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, "You must be holy because I am holy." And remember that the Heavenly Father, to whom you pray, has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of Him during your time as foreigners in the land. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom He paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose Him as your ransom long before the world began, but He has now revealed Him to you in these last days. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because He raised Christ from the dead and gave Him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, so now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart, for you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever, because it comes from the eternal, living Word of God. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. Okay, so this call to be holy as He is holy can be very, very confusing for me sometimes. And so that's kind of the point of this episode. I just kind of wanted to flesh out or try to understand better, I guess, what this actually means. If, you know, the Bible also says that if anyone says he is without sin, he is a liar. He's not in Christ. So I really wanted to do a deep dive into this and see really what this means, okay? So I think the first thing, first we need to approach this from a way of understanding what holiness is. So holiness is essential, the nature of God's holiness is essentially that it signifies His complete otherness, purity, and separation from sin. And it represents His perfect and... Oh my goodness, Tom. He just messed up my mic. Okay. But it also represents His perfect moral and ethical nature. Sorry, I have an outline and, you know, cats. Maybe you don't. I don't know. Yes. So then, what does that mean? All right. So, Thomas, please. Stop rubbing on this. Okay, guys, I deeply apologize. I'm going to keep my iPad now in my lap. Co-host! Okay, alright, let's get back on track. So, essentially, we need to understand the nature of God's holiness first, which is that God is set apart. He is other than, His holiness represents His complete otherness. If that little boy just broke my microphone, I might have an extreme issue. Let's see if this thing can still hear me. Okay, test, test, 1, 2. Test, 1, 2. Maybe it's not meant to be that I do a video today. Wow, okay. I'm gonna pause this now to see if I can still hear myself. So, 1 second. Okay, guys. So, I want to be very real with you about something that just happened. I had to take a break for a moment, and I might replay this for you guys during this episode because you might want to see it. Anyway, it's kind of relevant to what I'm trying. I'm gonna try to see if I can like somehow get it on a side by side, but then I'd probably have to re-record and watch it, like, because I want you to see my response to it because it's pretty embarrassing, but funny that I'm being tested as I'm trying to make this episode. So, all right. To be very real, I almost just wanted to give up, and I actually had a PTSD moment where I just kind of started spiraling really quick, and I was like, I'm not going to do this anymore. And I was kind of like running from it. I was like, I'm done. I'm not going to do it anymore, this podcast, but all good. Here we are. So let's see where we can go with this. A little hair in my mouth. And I'm like hypercritical of myself, so it's a little bit tougher for, I'm obviously going to notice a difference in the microphone, so that's kind of, I'm probably not the best judge of whether or not that was actually impacted. So if you watch these regularly and you notice there's something that sounds different now, please let me know. I don't know what I can do about it right now, but I just don't want it to, I want to know if it sounds different to you guys. Okay. I'm gonna get back to my outline. Okay, so to understand the nature of God's, or to understand holiness, we first have to understand that holiness is God's, it is God's complete otherness and purity and otherworldliness from us, I guess. It's what makes him set apart and different. It represents his perfect moral and ethical nature. Okay. So, and his moral purity, like from a moral aspect, holiness involves not just separation from sin, but also an active pursuit of righteousness. So while some of us might be wrestling with certain types of sin in our lives, all of us are, I would say, and some are new, some are old, some are lingering, some are, you know, ones that you thought were gone and just resurfaced. I've had that experience recently. But it's also an active pursuit of righteousness and justice. So, and there's a whole other segment I'd like to do on biblically what righteousness and justice is in the eyes of God, or in according to his word. So, because I think we can sometimes attach like these fleshly terms to these words whenever that's not really what they mean. Like, we kind of have our own meaning of it, and that can be really dangerous. So it's helpful to see what the Bible says this is. Anyway, so be holy as I am holy is obviously a call. It is a really challenging aspect of Christian discipleship too, because we are called to reflect God's character in our own lives. And that means trying to live in a way that reflects him, not us. And that's why we don't give glory to ourselves. We give glory to God when anything works out. Like, you know, that has brought us joy or something in, you know, according to his will and stuff, just giving glory to God in all circumstances. And also knowing it's not me, it's him in me. That's why he deserves all the glory. So, yeah, and that means aspiring to live in a way that mirrors his purity and ethical standards, which is impossible. Jesus Christ alone did that on the cross, and that's why our salvation is in him. And, and we are being sanctified, and we're justified in Christ and being sanctified. That is being transformed from one degree of glory to the next, I believe, until we die. So, but allowing God to do that work in us, even though we still wrestle, is keeping the faith. I mean, it's very, I hope I said that right. okay. So yeah, this also involves our being like our human call to holiness. It's gonna be a journey. It's a process of sanctification, which I just tried to argue, but not really argue, which I just kind of said was, like the process of sanctification that I think can go on and probably will go on throughout most of our lives, like our entire lives. So yeah, holiness is both a positional status, that is being declared righteous in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ alone, and a process of becoming more like Christ. This just, for some reason, brought to my mind, I hope I'm allowed to say this, if not, it'll probably get taken down, I'm not really even sure how that works, but there's a song, you know, In Christ Alone, and I like the one by Owl City, I also like the one by, I actually don't know, okay, but there's another one that I really like too, Mercy Me, maybe? I'm not sure. Okay, but yeah, there's a really big part of that song that it brings deep comfort into my heart and my soul whenever the words say, and on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. Here in the blood of Christ, the death of Christ I live, I think. Okay. But yeah, it's, that part's really, really big whenever you actually let yourself receive that. And that's what makes Jesus all the more beautiful, is that he was perfect, and yet he took on our sin. And in previously what would have been God's wrath toward us, he now looks at us and sees the righteousness of Christ, not our mess ups, not our sin, not our sinful nature, the Holy Spirit is guiding us, and Jesus is sanctifying us in our walk, but we are justified fully, freely, and forever forgiven in Jesus Christ our Lord. I always like to, whenever I need a refresher from the Holy Spirit, I just will sometimes say, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And sometimes I'll say it over and over again until I feel back at a decent level. And my mind, and it really can clear my mind a bit, but, all right. So yeah, then we jump into the role of Jesus Christ in being or becoming holy. So because we have union with Christ, because we are united with Christ, it's what I just said. Yeah, because of our union with Christ, our righteousness lies in him. Believers are united with Christ, who is the ultimate example of holiness. Through this union, we share in his righteousness. And yeah, you can see 2 Corinthians 5:21. You can see that in 2 Corinthians 5. Also, empowerment, Christ's work on the cross and his resurrection, empowers believers to pursue holiness. So it empowers us to pursue righteousness, not necessarily, but as we do that, our sin becomes less and less. Like, as we continue to move forward, not backwards, trying to break these habits, then we begin to see ourselves moving more in the direction of Christ and becoming more like Him. So yeah, it empowers us to pursue holiness, and the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, in believers, enables us to live according to God's standards. And you could see Romans 8 for that, the Roman road. So I don't know if that's all of the Roman road. I think the Roman road's a collection, so I will have to correct myself on that later, maybe. And called to imitate Christ, and we see that Jesus did live a life of perfect obedience to the Father. Studying His life and teachings provides for us a model for holiness. You see, you never see Jesus being violent towards people. You see Him kind of take the Ten Commandments and flip it on its head and like show us that it's so much deeper than that, and that none of us can get out scot-free, which is why we need Him. And for those of us who have accepted Him, again, we are being sanctified and transformed from that old self. But we should put on the new self. And that, again, I think goes on with this holiness of just moving towards the direction of Christ, doing the best we can with what we've been given, as I like to say. But as with what God has given us. So, yeah. And that goes into also being transformed. We are called to be transformed into the image of Christ through the renewing of our minds. And that's Romans 12. That's kind of like some of the repetition that I did earlier, where I said I sometimes repeat it often, but I'll say Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, just to keep my mind in an okay place sometimes, because there are things that can slip in, and if I'm not careful, it'll take me a little out of control, and that's not what Christ has for us. God has given us a spirit of peace and love and of a sound mind, and that does not... Okay, I think I got that right. Peace and of love and of a sound mind. If not, I'll put it in the bio or the description or whatever of the video. So this next part is about basically practical steps in pursuing holiness. Now, this is not a to-do list. I have no to-do list for anybody. Like, you cannot earn your salvation. You can't. I mean, it's just... I think it's just kind of to remind us of what that looks like, and also comfort us when we're wrestling but still in surrender and full, genuine surrender to Jesus despite our struggles, and continue to walk with Him. I think that shows a profound amount of faith. So I want to commend anyone who is walking in that way with Christ right now, or commend, I mean, encourage, or say good job, I guess, to those of you who are walking in that right now. And that is, again, with what God has given you. So glory be to God. So next part, daily surrender. And that would be just yielding to the Spirit. So regularly surrendering to the Holy Spirit's guidance and influence is crucial. This involves daily prayer, reading scripture, and seeking God's will. God's will, that can be a confusing thing. I think God speaks to us in many different, through the Holy Spirit and through many different ways. I used to think, like, it would be really cool if I could see Moses, you know, if I could be during Moses' time and seeing the cloud and being able to walk, but, like, we have... Or, you know, like the burning bush and all of that. So, sorry, my mind started going into all the scriptures of the places where God talks to His people through different means and voices, and not just like the prophets. But where was I? I kind of lost my train of thought. All right, so I was talking about I used to think it would be really cool to have that, like, see that he's with me, you know, in that way, and be really reassured. But I've noticed it over the last, like, year or two, just every day in a billion different ways. Honestly, longer than that, but it's like every single day he will show me and remind me, just in little things. Like, it could be in my car seeing something that, you know, this also involves a personal relationship with Christ and knowing that he knows you regardless of whether or not you think you're hiding anything from him. So that's a whole other thing. But he knows my heart, and although the desires of the heart are evil, I am in full surrender to him. And, you know, there are sweet little things, like in nature, hearing the birds chirp in the mornings. Like, I've not idolized that or anything, but, like, I enjoy seeing cardinals. Like, they're a really beautiful and cool bird. So it might be I'm driving in my car and I see, like, three that day, and I like the number three. Or, you know, there'll be a verse that I wake up and there's a verse in my mind, or a song, a hymnal. And throughout the day, I will somehow hear that again. And I know people say, like, yeah, well, when you're looking for it, but there are some things you can't look for. You know, there are just some things that you can't. And this also brings me back to yielding to the Holy Spirit. Like, sometimes that can mean don't go. I think a lot of people sometimes will think doing God's will is like doing, like go, go, go. Well, he also commands us to rest, which is an action, but not action in the way we think about it. Because we think about action as, like, you know, physically, behaviorally, outwardly trying to be better, do better, look better. I'm not even talking like athletically, like look like a better person, appear to others as a better person than what we actually are. I get caught up in that sometimes. I hate that game, or I really don't like that game. I don't like to play that. I don't like the fake smiles which sometimes I do it, like just then I do it because I am embarrassed or I'm getting awkward or uncomfy or I'm like, but that's just, like, I'm not hating on anybody for smiling. I'm just saying there are some times where it's like, we can be serious, we can be real, we can be authentic, but God loves a cheerful giver, so I also never want to give of myself if I cannot do it cheerfully. So that's also yielding to God's will. That's, you know, and sure, I can try to make myself think about it differently. That would be the renewing of the mind. That would be helpful. But it isn't about what I can do. It's about what God does in me. And it starts inside. It starts in the heart. He starts with the inside. So, like, clean first that which is within the cup, and then that which is on the outside will also be clean. I think the same applies to us. Like, clean our... Let God cleanse us from the inside out and stop trying to be prettier than what we are, where we are, essentially. And that's a hard one. Oh, well, submission. Submission means submitting your will to God's commands, allowing him to shape your desires and actions. I kind of touched on that earlier. Yes. I used to think I wanted a type of relationship that, looking back, seeing how God has truly changed me from the inside out, I'm like, I'm so thankful for God's no in that situation. I am so thankful, because I didn't even know that that wasn't what I wanted, but I thought I did then. And that's kind of that, just that submission, like submitting to what he says is good and right. And some things are heavier and harder than others. Like, so some things might take a lot more work, and there are surface level behaviors that might show where that is still being worked on. But I don't think that is to say that God's still not doing good in it. Like, you can still do righteousness. That is what's good.
like not focusing on our own sin all the time, of course being repentant, of course, but not sitting around and being like, I mean, if you're repentant on it and you're, you know, like waking up, you're prayerful, wishing, you know, praying this, what this thing wouldn't happen again, or you wouldn't fall back into this or that. I mean, it can be trying, but that testing of our faith produces patience and endurance and hope. And I don't think I said that one right either, but it does. I'm not just speaking from what I think is from the Bible. I'm saying what I have known to be true and what he's given me. And I thank God so much for the way he has changed some of my old ways of thinking. I am so thankful. Anyway, moving on, the renewing of the mind. So again, practical steps to pursue holiness or things that you might already be doing by the grace of God. So renewing of the mind, that's engaging with scripture to understand God's standards and principles. The word of God transforms the mind and heart, aligning them with God's holiness. Psalm 119, you'll see this. You'll also see it again in Romans 12. And just meditation on God's word and his character and even his call to holiness to help shape our thoughts and actions as believers in Christ. And then there's cultivating virtues, which is developing the fruit of the Spirit. We'll see this in Galatians 5, and that includes the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When I read that, I would honestly say there are some I see in my life, and there are some I don't fully see. But then there's a different kind of self-control. Like for, you know, for some people it might be, don't grab that Mountain Dew, don't grab that third plate, don't grab that second cigarette. I don't know, like third, 15th drink. I don't know, whatever it is. Yeah, that was probably not cool for me to do. Or okay. I barely made a noise. But yeah, sometimes self-control is like holding your tongue. I think James talks it, God, or the scripture says this, or talks about this type of thing in James, where he who, like, it is wise to know how to bridle your tongue. But again, wisdom is given by God. So even praying for that, if, you know, that's kind of the place that you might be in. Because I didn't really know that I could ask for big things until I became like a young adult Christian, because I just started seeing God a whole different way after he pulled me out of a dark and messy situation. So I apologize so much for my stomach right now. Okay. So practicing righteousness involves actively practicing virtues such as honesty, integrity, compassion, and justice in daily interactions. And yeah, I think when we can see this in other people's lives, that's also a reflection of that fruit being produced in us, if that makes sense. I always like to use this analogy for it, like, fruit is the result of a tree. Fruit is not like, fruit comes from the plant. Like, there is a root system. And God talks a lot, or Jesus talks a lot about this in using his, like, in parables and using certain analogies and stuff about when the sower sowed the seed and some fell onto rocky soil and some sandy and some sprung up on the roadside and some sprung up immediately but died quickly because they had no root, and the one on the good soil took root and was able to produce much fruit. So I do find that very interesting, that whenever the fruit of the Spirit is talked about, like, that's kind of the image that, well, not like image, but like that's kind of the scenery that would come into my mind, I guess. I don't know if that's okay. So then repentance and confession, that would be like ongoing repentance. Recognizing and confessing our sins regularly to God. I love when in the Psalms when David says, "I've sinned against you and you alone." I love that. But it is also good to make amends with others. Like Jesus says, if you have beef with your brother, he doesn't say it like that, but it's like if you have a problem with your brother or something like that, I'm sorry, then go make things right with your brother before you come bring your gift to the altar. So just an interesting one to keep in mind. Scripture to keep an interest. Yeah, sorry guys, my stomach's doing some funky stuff right now. And repentance is a, okay, I love this. Repentance is a continuous process that involves turning away from sin and seeking forgiveness. And the turning away can be difficult. But how I have, throughout my walk with Jesus, come to understand this is sometimes you'll get back in a pattern of sin and not realize you're in it until God wakes you up again. And maybe it's an old one, a lingering one. Maybe it's one that it's a constant wrestle with sin. It has been maybe since you were young. Maybe it's from something that happened to you. Maybe it's something that you had done on your own. But a lot of times I do think that, I mean, our experiences shape us. So, you know, it's God who brings us to him. So anyway, this repentance is a continuous process that involves turning away from sin and seeking forgiveness. And the turning away, yes, I sometimes find has been just because I got caught up in it and forgot, and then he wakes me up, I'm able to remember that this does not satisfy. Like, this thing that I'm doing right now, this whatever I've probably made an idol of, which a lot of us are guilty of, and I think that can play out in a lot of different ways. But we aren't guilty because we are in Christ, but those are that is that process of sanctification. Continual repentance. Like, and it can get tiring, and it sometimes you feel like you're losing hope, and then God will do something big. Happens every single time. I mean, if we are to look back, I feel like we should be seeing all the good God has done. I know there's Remember Lot's wife, but she was looking back at the destruction that was happening. And sometimes, like, God in the Old Testament also reminds us, like, do you not remember when I saved you out of exile? And also, side note, it's important to remember that God gave the law to the Israelites not before he exiled them. He did not say, "Be perfect and I'm going to take you out. Like, get you out of here." No. Those are his people. And he loves his people. He got them out and then he gave them the law that they never were going to satisfy until the promise, the anointed one came, and that is Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has come in the flesh, who came in the flesh and died and rose again, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies about him, meaning that our salvation and righteousness and justification is in him, not us or our own doing. But it is good to, in that love that he has bestowed upon us, to want to give it back to him. Like, that should be kind of like the driving force in our lives. The turning away from sin and seeking forgiveness, 1 John 1. Healing and growth. Confession and repentance open the way for healing and spiritual growth, helping believers to align more closely with God's holiness. Exactly. I have nothing to add to that. Community support, that would be, and these are just, again, back to the practical steps of, like, what this might look like, walking it out in, as we walk with Christ here, on this side of eternity. So, fellowship, that would be engaging in a Christian community, and I'm not just talking about a church or a small group or whatever. If you have a community of faith, that's a community of faith. Engage in a Christian community that encourages and supports spiritual growth. Accountability and mutual encouragement are essential for living a holy life. Service, there is serving others and engaging in acts of love and charity reflect God's holiness and advance His kingdom on earth. The only time I struggle with this one is if I am in a dark place and I need I need to really be in the presence of God and fasting and being with Him, being in His presence, because I'm not able to give to others at that time. Like, if I cannot give cheerfully, as I said earlier, I usually don't do it, but, you know, there's something about, like, you know, keeping your word and all of that, but, yeah, sorry, I got sidetracked. So, we're almost done here, guys, sorry. Then there's endurance and perseverance. So, pursuing holiness involves enduring trials and challenges that test and strengthen our faith. James 1, verses 2 through 4 encourages us as believers in Christ to view trials as opportunities for growth. Absolutely, yes and amen. Though it is not always, yes, amen, like, it's not always joyful. Like, it's like, this is a trial. I'm every morning trying not to do X, Y, you know, every day I'm waking up. This is still a struggle. I'm going to praise Him still. But it's, there are some times where I can't. Not that I can't, I just don't even have it in me. But He knows that, and He's still with me on those days. And those also do encourage us and give us hope, because it is sanctifying us in that process. If you go back to my episode on sorrow and sanctification, I talk a bit more about that. Okay, so then there's hope and assurance. So trusting in God's promises and relying on His grace as we strive for holiness. Understanding that perfection is not immediate can provide us with so much encouragement and perseverance. There are some stories, and praise God, where people were transformed, like, overnight with something. They're like, I was doing this, X, Y, and Z, led me into this, God got a hold of me, I overnight woke up totally different man. That's amazing. It has not been my experience, and the experience of a lot of other people I know who I would consider godly people. So I would not get discouraged if that would just be the one thing in a person's life. And I'm not, again, praise God, but it is to His glory and for the furtherance of His kingdom that He performs miracles and does what He does, whether it be in us, through us, or outside of us, or God is in all, with all, and through all, I think is what it is. That's what that verse is. If not, again, I'll put it in the thing. It's more about what it means, but I obviously still want to get the scripture right. I know what it means in my soul, but I would not want to get the words wrong, even though there are many different translations to begin with, but... well, that was kind of snarky. I shouldn't have said that. Okay, there we go. I apologize. All right. Lastly, there is our dependence on the grace of God. So, we are empowered through His grace. Holiness is not achieved through mere human effort, but by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The transformative power of grace enables believers to live according to God's standards. You'll see this in Titus Titus 2. You'll see this in Titus 2. There's also a recognition of our own limitations. So, acknowledging that our human effort alone is insufficient for achieving. I apologize. But acknowledging that human effort alone is insufficient for achieving true holiness. Dependence on God's grace is vital for our growth and transformation in Him and in our becoming more like Christ. So to be holy as God is holy involves understanding and imitating His purity and moral excellence through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and the example of Jesus Christ. It requires daily surrender, renewal of the mind, cultivation of virtues, ongoing repentance, community support, and endurance. Recognizing the role of grace is crucial in this journey, as holiness is ultimately a result of God's transformative power working in and through believers. So, why do I have to end everything with so? I'm not quite sure. I also, I added in a few little, like, so in scripture, I think Paul might, it might be Paul, I don't know why I always think it's Paul, but I think Paul says something about don't get all anxious about words and their interpretations or something like that. So I like to keep that in mind as I do word studies, but I do find that, like, the original text can sometimes give a better understanding, even change my perspective or understanding of scripture. So I think it would just depend on the person. The Bible's for everyone. Like, anyone can, I truly believe anyone can get in the Bible and see themselves in there. So, So holiness has multiple meanings, including set apart. The Hebrew word, oh no. Please forgive me if I say this wrong. The Hebrew word kadosh, or kadosh, and the Greek word hagios both mean to be set apart, sacred, or sanctified. So, yeah, just a great reminder that he is the giver of he sanctifies us. He is sanctified. He is the one who dispenses His grace and love on us and gives it freely and out of love, not out of, I need you here. Like, though some are predestined and chosen, His will have its way. His will will be. I think that's the best way of putting it. His will will be. His will be done. I love the verse, I am convinced neither height nor depth nor angels nor demons, no principalities or rulers of the dark places can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. One of the most reassuring verses as a believer who struggles kind of like Paul with the thorn in his side, that he prayed for it to go away, but to keep him humble, he says he's prayed for it and concludes that it is there to keep him humble. And I think he even admits to, like, not quite understanding it, but he's in full submission and has received comfort in knowing that he's still in Christ. He obviously knows that, and I think it's such a good reminder to see, especially even when you see, like, the disciples in the New Testament, like, Jesus will be talking to Jesus will be talking to, like, a crowd and saying these parables and saying this stuff, and, like, if you don't know what this means, you should know what this means, and then he'll go back to his disciples, and they're like, we don't really know what that means. And that's comforting. That's comforting as a believer. It's comforting. And the point is that in that is that we've accepted him, and we do submit to him, and he welcomes that, even if we have our doubts. Another word for holiness can be, like, or another kind of way we interpret it as is as being morally pure. So being entirely morally pure and sinless in every way, which is, again, impossible for us unless we are in Christ Jesus our Lord and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit do his work, but we will still not, we are not yet without sin until the new heavens and the new earth. We do have a spiritual enemy. So until Christ returns, I believe these are the sins that we're going to be wrestling with. I mean, and the doubts, a lot of doubt. That's why the community part is so important, like the community of faith, because they can encourage you during those times and remind you, speak to you in hymns and psalms, and just encourage you in your walk. So holiness can also mean exalted, which is exalted or worthy of complete devotion. Can mean in agreement with God, can be of one mind with God, agreeing with his judgment, loving what he loves and hating what he hates. It can mean something is dedicated to religious use, consecrated or sacred. I don't know much about that. I would have to do more studies on that. So this was just a basic outline, so I'll have to go back in and study that, and you guys can do your own. I am not a teacher, I'm not anything, I'm just here. And I would encourage you to do your own studies and do your own work, but I deep in my heart hope that this encourages those who it is meant to encourage and help and uplift. So I shall continue. Holiness can also mean regarded with deep respect, or awe or reverence or adoration. And these are all the ways that we should be looking at God, because he is sovereign. He is omniscient. He is in control of all things. He is good. He is good. Despite the struggles of the present times, I have seen he is good. Some say that holiness is a beautiful thing, but that people can have conflicting feelings about it. Some people may be moved to absolute silence and contemplation, while others may become whirling dervishes. All right, guys. I think I'm going to wrap this up now. And I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in. You guys are the best.